Welcome to the Chasing Tone podcast. I am Brian Wampler, of course, the nerdy guy behind Wampler Pedals. Today, I'm going to do a special tone tip segment. I guess we'll call it tone tips. Seems to be working. But basically, it's a Q&A type of day. That rhymed, and I didn't even plan for it to rhyme. It's a Q&A type of day. And today, I'm going to go off into Nerdville for a little bit. We're going to talk about some circuits, some capacitors and resistors, capacitor types, and whether you run things in parallel or series or both parallel series, non-inverting op amps and inverting op amps, hard clipping and soft clipping. And oh man, it's a lot of fun. So we're going to jump into that. We're going to then talk about some of the Wampler pedal line that works with a particular customer has. He's looking for some specific sounds, and I discuss with him, answer his questions on what I would do in his situation, what I would use, and how I'd set it up. And then we talk about recording with your favorite DAW, like GarageBand or Logic Pro X or, you know, Windows Sound Recorder or whatever you want to use to record with your Tascam 4-track. We talk about that sort of thing. Not too deep, because I'm not a... I don't know that much about it, but I try to answer this customer's question as best as I can. So let's jump into it right now. Today I'm going to do a special little segment of the Tone Tips, basically like a Q&A. So I get a lot of questions via email, a lot. YouTube comments, a lot. Facebook comments and messages, a lot. So I'm going to try to answer just a couple of them on today's podcast. And today's first question comes from, I believe I'm pronouncing his name right, Reinert Wasserman. So here we go. He says, hey, Brian, I just got a couple of your books so that I can start learning the building blocks of different gain circuits and eventually coming up with my own designs. I was wondering if you could talk about the differences, if any, of some basic parts, like the difference between polyester and tantalum capacitors, where to use which, and where it does not matter, say, maybe in the noise filtering of a power section. I was also wondering about the orientation of in which you might prefer things. Say you have a resistor and a capacitor in parallel or series. Does it matter which comes first? Are there things that common practice says to do a certain way, but you prefer another approach? He says, I'm thinking about an episode on compressors from that pedal show where they came to the conclusion that common practice is compressor before drive, but they prefer after. Thanks for the knowledge you give so freely. Well, you know, that's a good question. And it's hard to really, like, give a very black and white answer because it all depends. So coming from the perspective of designing some sort of circuit, right? Are there differences? Let's break this down a little bit. Are there differences between the basic parts like polyester and tantalum capacitors? Yeah, there's a difference. Sometimes it makes a difference in the sound. Sometimes it makes a difference in the filtering or the application. It can have a little bit different of a quote-unquote feel. Some people don't believe in that. It feels a little different. It's hard to really qualify that. It's hard to really explain that in detail. So, and especially through a podcast, this is going to be hard. So I'll do my best. So let's break up a basic circuit like a tube screamer. Okay, let's break that up into blocks, into segments. So basically, we have a buffer circuit. Then we have a gain stage circuit. Then we have some filtering. Like, it basically takes off some highs. And then we have a tone circuit. Then we have the volume. And then another buffer circuit. So in between each one of those circuits, there's what is called a coupling capacitor. So basically, this is blocking DC. You don't need to know that, but that's what it's kind of doing. And that capacitor can change the bass response. And that capacitor also can change the sound and feel of things. So For example, let's say that you put tantalum capacitors in that position for each one. It's going to sound a little different and feel a little different than it is in, say, a metal film capacitor. And I can't really detail that for you. All I can say is it's a little bit different. Some like it, some don't. There's not a better. There's not a worse. It's just different. Me, a lot of times when I'm breadboarding things, I like to use film capacitors, or if it's a larger value, I'll use electrolytic capacitors, depending on what I want. And there's, like I said, there's no right or wrong way. So yes, it does make a difference. It's not a huge dramatic difference. So for example, let's say you have your Boss SD1, which is kind of a tube screamer type circuit. And let's say in each one of those places, you replace that capacitor, those blocking capacitors, those coupling capacitors, with a metal film version. And I have seen some DIY kits that do just this. They're just same value, different type of capacitor. Yes, it's going to be different, but I would say the average guitar player, not meaning like a guy who plays average, but like take 100 guitar players, 95 of them may not notice anything. If you took two identical pedals, set them exactly the same, made them turn around, and didn't tell them which one you were turning on or off, I bet you that they're not going to guess which one has the metal film capacitors 100% of the time. I bet you. I would say guarantee it, but I'm not a betting man when it comes to money. So really, like it's just not a huge difference. I think the tolerance can be a little tighter on some metal film capacitors, depending on the brand and the style in that brand. That does play a part, the tolerance. For example, let's say you're using a 0.022 capacitor across the board. If you have a cheaper capacitor with a very bad tolerance, like let's say it's a plus or minus 20%, then that's a 40% difference that it could swing either way. So yes, that difference in just the tolerance, even if it's the same part, that could be dramatically a whole different sound just due to that tolerance. So the tighter tolerance parts, I think that's good. I think sometimes they can be, I hate to use this term, but for lack of a better way to explain it, a little less noisy. And I don't know if that's just due to the composition of the capacitors. I don't go that deep into the nerdery stuff. This is all just me experimenting and from what I've noticed over the years. So I'm sure that, if I called my engineer Jake and asked him, he would probably be able to explain to me exactly the chemical makeup of that capacitor and why that may or may not change things. I'm not the type of guy that goes that deep into stuff. I'm more hands-on. And I like to put things into layman-esque terms. I like to tell people, I like to explain this like I would explain to like my mom or, my teenage son or someone like that. Someone that, I don't need to talk about, the far depths of nerdery. Okay, so, and speaking of tantalum capacitors, just a little tip. There is the low-pass filter on a Tube Screamer. After that gain stage, on a TS-9 and I think the 808, there is a tantalum capacitor there to ground. I have noticed that whenever you change that tantalum capacitor to like a film capacitor, it does change the sound quite a bit. And it's even if it's the same exact value, it just changes the sound and the response and feel. Not exactly sure why, but it is something that I've noticed. And so I would guess that, for low-pass filtering or high-pass filtering even, maybe that does make a big difference. Something to try out. I myself don't use a lot of I don't use a lot of tantalum capacitors myself. He also asked, I was wondering about the orientation of which you might prefer things, like a resistor and capacitor in parallel or series, or does it matter which comes first? And it all depends on the circuit. I mean, like it's not quite that black and white. A resistor and capacitor in parallel versus series on, the signal going through after an op amp is going to be completely different than a resistor and capacitor in series, like in the feedback path on a non-inverting op amp, you know, which would be generally going to ground or to a bias of some sort. So it's two totally different things. They work completely different. It's just two radically different things. It's kind of like asking, is it better to have, I don't know, is it better to have tires on my car, or is it better to have tires on my truck? Now, that's a terrible comparison. I don't really have a good analogy for that one, but it's just, trust me, radically different. It's, you can't compare them. I mean, it all depends on what you want. How do you want to change the frequencies? And, you know, what happens when you put a capacitor in parallel with a resistor in that specific part of the circuit? And same thing, like when you talk about the power section, I mean, it's just not that black and white. And the same thing can really apply to whether you put the resistor first or the capacitor first. Well, it depends. Where's it at in the circuit, and what type of circuit is it? That's a really hard one to answer. There's no good answer for that one. So, sorry, I wasn't able to be more of help there. But I think if anything, the best thing to do, the best way to learn, I promise you, is to buy a breadboard, make a few easy circuits, and try it yourself. See what you think. That's really the best way. Because you know what? There's times where I have told someone something that I found, and like, I don't hear it. And vice versa, where someone else has told me that they've tried something, I breadboarded, I'm like, I don't really notice much of a difference. So I think all that's just, roughly based on a lot of opinion. Okay, let's go to the next question from Jeffrey Rees. Jeffrey says, hello, I'm seriously looking into some Wampler stuff. My main effects are always overdrive and distortion. I have many other effects I use, but they are for small parts of songs or whatever. Dirt's my mainstay sound. I'm playing out of a JCM 2000 TSL-100 into a 212 with a Celestion V-Type and a Cannabis Rex. I have a 412 1960A with 75s, but that's only for big stage gigs. My three main guitars are a Strat, a PRS Vela, and an Epiphone LP with EMG active pickups. I'm wondering what overdrive or distortion pedals could work well with my amp. I'm definitely a Tube Screamer guy, and I have a Tube Screamer type pedal already stacked with the Zach Wild OD, which is a Tube Screamer type thing. I'm wondering if there's a Wampler version that rocks. I'm definitely interested. My main area of interest is to have three levels of dirt, slightly overdriven for blues tones, pretty crunchy for rock riffs and leads, and if the occasion called for it, like 80s hair tunes, high gain tones. Are there any individual pedals or combination of pedals that can help me achieve these tones? I've been very interested in the Tumnus and the Pinnacle. I know they're very different pedals, but I'd like to know how they might interact with my Marshall, either by themselves or possibly stacked. I'm most interested in Wampler stuff, of course, but I know how honest you guys are, and if you think I can achieve certain tones with a Wampler, if you think I can't achieve certain tones with a Wampler, maybe what other pedal I might be able to use. Sorry for the long post, but I figured the more info I gave, the better picture I could paint. Thank you, Jeff, for the question. Wow, that's a big one. Again, let's break this down a little bit. So we know he's playing a JCM 2000 to a 212. He also has a 412. He's got a Strat, a PRS Vela, an Epiphone with active pickups, three radically different guitars. What overdrive and distortion pedals work well? He likes Tube Screamers. So right off the bat, I am thinking that we're going to be talking more like the Clarksdale. A Clarksdale is a Tube Screamer type of thing that has an active bass, an active mids, and you can change the clipping on it as well. So you can go asymmetrical or symmetrical like the Tube Screamer thing. Asymmetrical is what was used on the SD1. Now, don't get me confused. That does not mean that with that switch flipped up to asymmetrical, which is, what do I call it on the Clarksdale? I totally forget what the switch is labeled as. Big. So smooth would be symmetrical. Big is asymmetrical. So when it's in the big setting, that does not make it an SD1. It does not. There's more things going on in the SD1 than just those clipping diodes. But, you know, that kind of gives you a feel for what's going on there. So you have the Clarksdale. The Paisley drive is when you're on, let's see, when you have the presence off, when the EQ shape has the mids bumped, you're more like a tube screamery there, except it's going to be hairier, have more gain, have a little bit more bottom. It's going to respond a bit better. Not nearly as compressed as what you'd find in a tube screamer, but it's got that mid hump that is inherent in like a TS style circuit. And then of course we just released the Paisley Drive Deluxe. So you get that Paisley Drive circuit along with, more of, well, it's based off the Nobles ODR-S, I think, circuit, loosely based off that, but still it's a much gainier circuit, much hairier circuit. So 2-in-1 on that one. If you like the Pinnacle style stuff, which is, you know, heavier gain distortion, you got the Pinnacle Deluxe, which has that TS style boost on it. And Dual Fusion has like that Paisley Drive channel. It's not exactly the Paisley Drive. It's been modified somewhat. But you still have that type of core circuit there on the left side, along with more of a quote-unquote transparent side on the right channel. What else do we got? We got so many pedals, I'm sitting here trying to think. Plexi Drive, there you go. It's a great great left JFET-based left channel overdrive with a TS-style boost on the Plexi Drive Deluxe. What else? So that's the TS stuff. Let me go back to your question here. I just lost it. Okay. So that's more the TS-style things. The thing, you know what, I mean... Jeff, you may like this with actives. I'm personally not a fan of active pickups with a TS style circuit. That harder signal actually seems like more the clean tone comes in. And there's reasons for that, but to your ear, it's going to sound like there's like more of a clean signal mixed in with the clip tone, the distorted tone. So your mileage may vary with that guitar. I think for a Strat or Tele or anything with passives or pickups that aren't super hot, you don't generally find that on a TS style circuit or you know, something that's soft clipping with just one stage of soft clipping. But especially inherent in non-inverting op amp circuits too, which are soft clipping. Let's see, next part of your question. So you need slightly overdriven for blues tones, crunchy for rock riffs, and you know, more like 80s hair tunes, high gain tones. So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, are you using your amp clean or dirty? You know, if you're using it clean, then we have all kinds of options. Like, it opens up a world of stuff. If you're using it dirty, we're going to stick with overdrives. I mean, for example... If I'm running a dirty Marshall, I'm probably not going to put a Pinnacle on it. It's going to turn to mush, which is a cool sound if you like fuzz. It's going to be very fuzzy, just square clipping like crazy because you're clipping the crap out of that signal. If you're on the clean channel, Dracaris is a great one for that. I know it's billed as like a high gain brutal distortion, but it does the rock stuff really well too, especially with the 3-band EQ. Honestly, it's one of my favorite distortions in our line right now. I just love that thing. Pinnacle is a good one. I would not recommend the Pinnacle standard, the smaller Pinnacle with active pickups. You're going to probably clip the front end of that pedal a little bit too much. On the Deluxe version, it has that sag switch that helps with people have active pickups or, you know, pickups with a little higher output. So it really helps with that sort of thing. Plexi Drive Deluxe or Plexi Drive, either one. Both of those JFET-based circuits, those should work really well. Again, depending on how hot that pickup is, that's a JFET-based circuit as well. So you might hit it a little too hard. It might compress too much, depending. Now, this is not across the board. It really just depends on the actual pickup, where it's set, like the height-wise to the string. And how hard you're actually hitting the strings. Sovereign's another great one. Triple Rec is another great one. The catapult is a really cool thing, but though that is a JFET-based circuit as well. Man, Dracaris. Like, if I had to just throw one out there, I'd say Dracaris. The right channel, the Paisley Deluxe, is fantastic. I wouldn't, even though it is a Brad Paisley type thing, I generally don't think of Brad Paisley's tone as that right channel, but it is. It's the, when you hear a lot of his lead tones, and sometimes you hear like a lot of gain on it, that you're hearing that underdog, which is what the circuit's derived from, our old underdog pedal. You're hearing that underdog circuit kicking in, and it's magic. Love it. If you're hitting, well, this could work on a clean channel too, especially with stacking, but Tumnus works really great into a dirty channel. Really great. Clarksdale, I would say the same thing. But if you're on the clean channel, stacking that Tumnus into really any of those, the Plexi Drive, the Pinnacle, the Dracaris, the whatever, that's going to work really well. I probably wouldn't dime both games. You'll get a bunch of noise just because your gain is literally like, basically it's a multiplication of the signal, okay? So like the signal coming into it, you're multiplying that signal, and some of that clipping in a pedal, you just don't have enough headroom or enough voltage for to reproduce cleanly. And so it starts clipping. It starts distorting. It's very similar to what tubes do whenever, they can't stay clean. So they just start breaking up a little bit and compressing and clipping those signals. He said he'd be very interested in the Tumnus and the Pinnacle and how they interact with each other. That's a magical combination. And you know what? Probably that's... The Pinnacle stacked with the Tumnus is such a cool, tight tone. It'd probably be fun to actually put the Pinnacle Deluxe with the Tumnus. That'd be cool. Maybe a Pinnacle Deluxe. That'd be awesome. So, as far as other brands, I mean, you know, there's 10,000 pedal companies out there. I don't even know where I would start to recommend. I guess you'd have to tell me what company you're looking at, and I could probably... give you some recommendations, but there's so many companies out, and a lot of them are putting out great pedals. So I don't know. Watch some YouTube videos and see what you think. Go to your local retailer and see if you can actually play through some stuff. That makes a big, big, big difference. And this last email comes from a guy named Matt Williams, and Matt says, Brian, I enjoy your technical topics, and you really seem to enjoy recording with DAWs using lots of IR plugins. Have you considered doing a podcast or a video series on tips and tricks for desktop recording? I'm thinking things like hardware to get started, types of plugins and how to use them, different recording methods, etc. I'm just now jumping in recording, and I'm sure there are others like me who would enjoy your insight on the topic. Well, Matt, I would actually love to. My problem is I'm simply not that knowledgeable in it. I know enough to get by, but there are tons and tons of people that are way better at this sort of thing than I am. In fact, YouTube is probably the best place to actually learn something like that. I think, if I recall right, I think his name's David Wallerman, does a lot of things around this, if I'm not mistaken. So look him up on YouTube, and if I recall right, he had a ton of things around that. Jim Lill, I believe, is another person that has some things on this. There's several guys there. Once you get into a video, look at other videos like off to the side or below if you're on mobile, and you'll see a ton of things like that, a ton of related videos that are very similar. Just spend like several hours, you know, like lay off Netflix for a couple evenings. And just spend some hours just looking at that stuff and absorbing it. Because my knowledge in that area, not so much. I use GarageBand for podcasting, which is like the basic recording interface, recording software on a Mac. And I just do that because I just hit R and it's dead simple. When I'm doing videos, I use Logic Pro X. And... not really a good reason. Actually, sometimes I do use GarageBand as well. It just depends how elaborate it is. In other words, you know, if I'm doing a lot of IRs and stuff, my IR loader works better with Logic Pro X, so I'll use that. If I know it's just going to be like one simple mic and there's not going to be like a whole lot of dead space, or I don't have to like mess with a lot of volume issues or anything like that, or, you know, what have you, then generally I'll just use a GarageBand. Don't use, as far as the videos go, I don't use a whole lot. I may do a little tiny bit of stereo separation, so that way when you have like your iPod earbuds in or any sort of earbuds, that it doesn't sound like the sound is literally in the middle of your head. It, you know, sounds like it's a little bit stereo-ish without sounding fake. At least that's what I'm going for. And there's plugins that can do that. And there's some free ones too. I think Voxengo makes a free one. KVRAudio.com, I believe, has a bunch of free plugins, and I think that's where I found that one. Logic Pro X has like a stereo expander, something like that, that's on there. I don't know if GarageBand comes with one like that. I also use little tiny bit of reverb. I actually like a little bit of room reverb. I've been experimenting lately, but I haven't used this yet on any videos, but I've been experimenting with using impulse response reverbs, or convolutions, as some like to call them. And this is because like you can take the sound, the actual reverb of a room and apply it to you know, like a sound. So I can take a guitar track and use like that impulse response of a bathroom, and boom, sounds like I'm playing in a bathroom. Now, obviously, I wouldn't turn that up all the way because that would sound really echoey and horrible, right? But, you know, a little smidgen of that thrown in, it's fun. I like to use it a lot, really. Experimentation. It's one of those things that you can create a lot of really wacky, like unnatural sounding effects that may sound super awesome. You know, using various plugins all patched in together, using like Logic Pro X, or really even GarageBand, but Logic Pro X has like buses and stuff, not like school buses, but buses where you can like sends and returns, if you know what that is. It's like a big fancy PA system. What else? I don't really do a whole lot of like, not really much compression. YouTube takes care of that. It compresses the crap out of everything. Every time I think I have a great guitar sound, I upload it to YouTube. I'm like, ugh, oh my gosh, the algorithm killed it. And you know, as a creator of a lot of this stuff, it's hard to mix for like the earbuds versus the studio monitors. There's times where I'll have an amp that's mic'd up, and I'm like, oh, this sounds great through my monitors. And then I get it in the earbuds, I'm like, oh, it sounds so tinny and mid-rangey. And I don't, you know, I know some other people that do videos and they try to mix for like the earbuds. And I don't know what the best option is, honestly. I guess I've tried experimenting with both a little bit. And just to kind of see what the feedback is, if people say, you brought the suck on this video, that sounds horrible, then I know, don't do that anymore, Brian. Don't do that. But yeah, so Matt, to really to answer your question, I don't have the knowledge to do like an entire podcast on it. I'm not that bright at it. Just not. I'm sorry, man. But yeah, check out YouTube for some more stuff like that. All right, so I hope this was an entertaining segment of Tone Tips for you. I don't usually do a whole lot of Q&As, but I actually like getting a lot of questions, especially ones that I can use on the show. So if you've sent, you know what, if you've actually sent an email to me and I haven't answered it before, I'm not avoiding you. I'm not. You just got lost in the flood of emails I get, because I get like 300 or 400 a day. It's pretty overwhelming. I try to pick all that stuff out and, you know, set it aside so I can get to it as soon as possible. But if I haven't answered your question, please just do me a favor and like resend it to me. Maybe like in a subject line, put like, hey, dummy, you didn't answer my question. Something like that. That'll get my attention. And, you know, I'd love to, if it's a topic that we can discuss on the podcast, I would love to do that. Or even if it's like a YouTube video suggestion, that stuff's great as well. I do this for you guys. So, if you don't like it, then, you know, I won't do it. So, anyways, hope you liked it. Please shoot me some feedback. I'd like to see what you think about this. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. If you have any comments or questions, podcast@WamplerPedals.com reaches directly to me. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.